Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I believe that nobody will be bothering us for the first at least hour and a half here. I believe. Just you and me against the world. 860-522-9842. What's on your mind? I have two topics in my pocket here that are big things going on. One state, one national. And I feel a little torn over which to start with, so I thought I'd throw them both at. Yeah, I'm sort of leaning towards the defunding of police as being the hotter story. But Ned was pathetic yesterday in trying to do a cover-up of the of his desire to not resist the automatic pay increases that Democrats have planned for their union partners. And I'm unsure which is the hottest story for you. I think maybe you're a little sick of all the attacks on Jolly Ned day in and day out. Maybe you want the variety of taking a look and closely seeing the deception that the Democrats are doing nationally now. Because they've got all this energy. They've got all this intensity and national focus. Plus the left wing of their party, which they're so afraid of, demanding defunding of police. So I thought I'd throw it out to you. Which is better? 860-522-9842. As I say it, I do think the defunding is better. So let's start there. Let's start with defunding of cops, because this is, well, first off, let me say, you know how I've been talking since I came on the air here, because I've been doing it for years. I've been talking about how police unions make city police forces dangerous by protecting the worst cops. Police unions have this bizarre relationship with their police forces where they don't do what's best for the police force. If you wanted to do what was best for the police force, you would defend all the good cops. And then the awful criminal cops, you would back off and say, nope, sorry, I can't help you with that one. But of course, they don't do that. No, they do the opposite. They dig in and they start doing all, just like a defense lawyer. Spinning and bobbing and weaving and creating this false narrative to defend the awful cops, which means, what does that mean? It means all the good cops suffer. How do they suffer? Well, first of all, they have to deal with the fact that they're in a corrupt organization that protects the worst amongst them instead of the best. Then what happens when you're a good cop and you're in a little arrest situation, like the one we saw with George Floyd? You're the good cop standing there. And Dennis Chauvin is killing the suspect. What do you do if you're the good cop? Well, I think the good cops have to stand around and do nothing under the way Democrats have designed things currently. Under the way Democrats run cities right now with unions controlling everything. If you're a good cop and you're standing there with Officer Chauvin killing the suspect, you've got to keep your mouth shut. Agree or disagree. And what would you do, by the way, in this situation? Does anybody think they would have the fortitude to stand up and actually go tackle Chauvin and get him off of George Floyd? Does anybody think they've got that kind of courage? Because you've got all this social pressure pushing down on you and saying, no, don't, you can't do that. All of the rules of policing, your whole career will be shot. You'll have to move out of this police force and go to another one. That's a big decision. What do you do? I was watching this TV show with my wife. It's, you know, it was on, it wasn't Netflix. It was Prime. It was on Prime. It's a BBC thing. It's called Tennyson. This young woman cop. You know, she's like 20 years old, just starting out, all starry-eyed about being a police officer. She joins the force. She falls in love with one of the, with her boss. She's got all these friends. They all like her because she's cute and she's an eager beaver. And then one of the cops beats up a suspect, unprovoked, immediately makes up a phony storyline for everybody else to adopt. You know, he doesn't say it, but everybody gets the game and they all start adopting the phony story because that's how it works. Everybody knows how it's worked, how it works. But Tennyson doesn't know that's how it works. This is all new to her. Her friend tells her, well, if you want to be a cop, this is what you have to do. Everybody will love you if you just repeat the lie when you get interviewed. Just repeat the lie. And Tennyson, you think, has all this integrity. She's so devoted to policing. You think there's going to be a major struggle, and this will be a big conflict in the series where you'll get some definition of what is the underpinning of this story. What is the thing that's going to drive this Tennyson series? And no, she just decides to go along. She caves in instantly. Tells the lie to the investigators. And I thought, isn't this something? In the midst of this George Floyd thing, I'm watching this old TV. It's like, I don't think it's that old of a series, but it's a period piece based in the 1960s, I think. And I'm watching this fantasy situation, which is a common theme in police stories. It's so common that they have to lie because that's what you do when you're a cop. You see it all the time, right? Planting evidence, planting guns, planting drugs, telling fake stories. So if you're a cop working in the cities as controlled and required by the Democrats, you have to lie. You have to put George Floyd's life second, because what would happen if you were to act? Say you're one of those cops standing around there and you suddenly decide, hey, Chauvin, get off of him. You're going to kill him. You can't do that. You can't decide to do that, because then you've rigged the whole thing. Then you've become the key piece of evidence that if he doesn't get off, you've convicted him of a crime. Can't do that. That's why everybody's got to stick together. As soon as one cop lies, everybody else lies with him. Is this not the ethos? Obviously, I've never been a police officer. Obviously, you can't trust 100% television. But what we do know is we hear this all the time. And I've got friends who are cops. They tell me about this stuff. But more importantly, you can deduce it. You can look at this and you can know what the problem is. So I want to talk to you about this idea. I want to talk to you about this defunding idea, because on the surface, it sounds crazy. But I have a way to think about it that isn't crazy and that works best for the opposition, which I want to run by you. By the way, Spike Lee came out on the side of truth, justice, and the American way last night. You know Spike Lee, the great black film director who's he's got a good sense of what's going on politically and what the right thing is. He's not great at articulating his point because he's an artist, you know. He gets a little goofy, but he makes a good point here because he makes my point. Talking to Anderson Cooper last night on CNN. It's a good point. Because, all right, yes, he is a director. He's a filmmaker, but he makes a good point. Even though it's not coming across, I don't know what's going on here. Oh, I've got the wrong cable plugged in. Let me try it again. A little noise there, and here we go.
That you think can be done quickly that can show progress? I mean, you know, where are you at in terms of, you know, Black Lives
Matter? Anderson Cooper's not doing so well either, getting the question out. But Spike's got a good answer.
Well, first of all, I know people can get mad at me, but we need police.
All right, first of all, he stands up against the defund movement, and he says we need police. Well, Spike lives in New York City. I don't think you can live in New York City and have, especially a rich guy, and have fantasies about not needing police.
Well, first of all, I know people can get mad at me, but we need police. We need police, but we need a just police system.
That's the whole thing right there. Is there a way to have a just police system? I don't know if there's a way to do that under the current structure.
These unions are jamming everything up. They'll go to the mat protecting their fellow police officers in blue no matter what they do.
All right, so now we have three voices in America calling for the police unions to be fixed. Two significant voices. Spike Lee and the mayor of Minneapolis, who are identifying unions as the problem. Everybody else coming from the liberal side is afraid to do what's right. They're lying to you. Anybody who is not identifying police unions as a critical problem here is simply afraid to tell you the truth because they don't want to lose your vote. They are being slimy politicians. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue with the conversation here on WTIC.
I know people can get mad at me, but we need police. We need police, but we need a just police system. These unions are jamming everything up. They'll go to the mat protecting their fellow police officers in blue no matter what they do.
All right, so there's Spike Lee on CNN last night. We now have Spike Lee and the mayor of Minneapolis both telling the truth amongst the Democrats. All others on the left are lying. They want to talk about taking down statues again. They do. They want to talk about citizen boards. All of this stuff is a lie, designed to buy them time, hoping that the smoke will blow over. When the smoke clears, that they'll be able to come out from under their hiding. It's a position of hiding to not be willing to blame the unions. Just like Jolly Ned won't tell the truth about unions, won't stand up to the unions. They're afraid of what they've created. It's the Frankenstein monster idea. They've created the monsters. They've created constituencies who have unrealistic expectations, or maybe not. It depends on how you look at it. Greg, West Hartford, hi.
Hi, Todd. You're doing yeoman's work. Get after the unions, because they are undoubtedly the problem in law enforcement. When I took my promotion to supervisor in our department, the warden slid my badge across at me and he said, before you pick that badge up, you better realize your biggest headache now becomes staff. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I wrote up my first officer, unfortunately. And it was the union that fought and fought and fought for this guy and got him his job back. He should have been fired, no doubt about it. But officers would come to me and say, hey, I don't want to work with this guy. I can't work with this guy. You got to get me out of here. LT, you got to get me out of here. And it gets to the point where good officers, you have to put them together with them. And the good officers get pulled down with the bad officers.
So can you describe what a bad officer is like? Is it one of those guys with the big walk, like he just loves that he's got that gun on his hip? Is it an obvious thing, you know, the bad guys?
There's two kinds. There's ones that don't care about anything. They let everything go and they turn their back. And then there's the other kind, which is just like you. They're just as bad. The first kind that I named will watch another officer work or get, you know, try and deal with a situation and won't get involved. Doesn't want to get involved. Okay. Doesn't want to get involved. The second type that you named, which is perfect, gets involved to a point where they get overly involved and they push it and push it.
They want to rule the world.
They got that badge on their chest and they think it protects them. And what I used to tell cadets that came in is the badge means nothing. It's not going to protect you. It's your brain and your wit and your verbal judo that's going to help.
But wait a sec. Wait a sec, Greg. How about the other officers? Aren't they vital to you being protected? And isn't this why cops lie for each other?
Cops can only go, you can only go so far. As a supervisor, I've pulled officers off of people and disciplined them and wrote them up. It didn't happen too often because everybody knew me. But the other officers would look at them and look at me and go, you know, you could see it in their face. They would say, hey, are you going to do something about this? And I did have a few staff members here and there put people in their place quietly off to the side. But they just don't like to work with them. They don't, and they'll tell you. And it's hard as a supervisor.
So when you say that they knew you, what you're referring to is that they knew that you were somebody who would require them to follow the rules, and so they would behave differently when you were around?
I was not somebody that shied away from problems, whether it was a suspect or an inmate, because I did work out on the street for 3 years. I was fair, and it was across the board, very black and white. If my job was to back up my staff, if they were right, if they were wrong, they knew it. And everybody knew my style. It was kind of a very upfront, this is what I want, this is what I expect, let's get this done together. If you need help, let me know. And it worked very well, but there are some people that you just can't get through to, and they don't deserve to have the badge, and it's the union that holds
these
people. I've worked for
All right, I'm going to hold you there, Greg, because I got a bunch of calls on this, but thank you so much. It's great to have your input on this. Bob, you're next on WTIC. Turn down that radio, Bob.
And they don't deserve to have the badge.
All right, we can't listen to that again. So, Bob, I'll put you back on hold. Jim in Windsor, hi.
Hi, how are you? I want to tell you my put with unions. I worked at United Technologies, and I was a supervisor for 25 years. And the union, you know, wasn't a good union as far as management was concerned. And I used to sit in seminars with other supervisors, and they would bemoan, you know, the union. And I said, don't blame the union. It's the company signed the contract. The union representatives are required by law to represent their constituents to the contract that was negotiated with the city. If the city and the police union have a good contract, and what you and I would call good, then the union is not going to go any further than what the contract called for.
Jim, of course you're correct about what you're saying, but the problem is that the contracts that get negotiated are hateful towards taxpayers and hateful towards citizens and tilt the power away from what's right towards what's wrong because of the whole dynamic with the unions. You got 20 seconds to finish up.
Day's work or you will not be employed. And you have two unions. The difference is management.
It's all controlled by the politics around unions. And I don't know how we escape that. I don't know how you build an honest, decent organization when you've got this corrupting third party election rigging special interest group that's been empowered by the government to do the job of the government so the people can't influence it. I don't know how you escape that. 860-522-9842. We'll talk more about this coming up. Right now, news on WTIC. Revolution Radio. We are talking about, this is an amazing situation right now, as I'm sure you've noticed. The world is going crazy, and it's easy to sit here in white America, in suburban America, and think, boy, oh boy, those Democrats, those minorities, though whatever it is, the other, to look at everybody else as some strange thing. But you have to understand the degree to which this actually is part of our world, part of our lives, and how we have to manage it too. We can't just sit there and look at it and judge it. This is the 38-year-old leftist mayor of Seattle. No, I'm sorry, of Minneapolis, where the murder of George Floyd took place.
Do you currently have the power to do that? To bring in new officers who do this job differently and get rid of cops who are problematic?
We have the ability to bring in new officers who do the work differently. In fact, Chief Arredondo personally interviews every new cadet that comes in to make sure they have the right mentality, that procedural justice is instilled from the very beginning, and that they have a compassionate approach. We do not have the ability to get rid of many of these officers that we know have done wrong in the past due to issues with both the contract and the arbitration associated with the union. And, you know, I mean.
So that there you have the mayor saying, we just can't do it. We don't have the power. This is why democracy fails, because the people don't have the power because of their politicians, because the politicians have traded that power away for favors. This is what a rigged system is. That's what the language means. It means scummy politicians won't stand up for what's right. And that's what's going on right now. There is a demand for action. And you have to empathize with that demand for action. Because what Black America is feeling, what urban America is feeling, is the effects of having been robbed of representative government. They might as well live in the old Soviet Union. They might as well live in communist Cuba, for their ability to affect change by raising their voices. You have to be empathetic with this, because this is the same thing that's happening to everybody in the state of Connecticut. Because of the relationship between the Democratic Party and the unions, Connecticut doesn't have the money to operate. It's got huge debt it can't pay. And they keep raising taxes as a result. And you feel oppressed. Well, that oppression is the result of not having democratic government. It's been robbed by this system rigging scheme and election rigging scheme known as public sector unions. We are all in the same boat together. I didn't like that slogan about COVID, but it's totally true when it comes to the politicians not doing our business correctly. Whether it's the police in urban America problem, or whether it's the bankrupt Connecticut problem, it's the same scam that's been run against the people by the Democratic Party. Maggie in Stratford, hi.
Hi, Todd. Thank you. An important conversation. Glad we're having it. And you're so right to connect the dots with the unions and politics and what's happening with electing Democrats in Connecticut. But what I want you to do is to expand your reach. I know this conversation is happening because of the awful thing that happened to George Floyd and the morally reprehensible act of that police officer. But let's not limit this conversation about unions to just police.
Well, go ahead. What do you want to expand it to?
It's all unions. This is also a bigger conversation relating to abuse of power, and that this can happen in all sectors, but it is especially rampant, and a lack of accountability within the state employee union system and the municipal employee union system in Connecticut, and I dare say all other states. I had the sort of unique perspective.
Let me just interrupt for a second, because I already hear you getting diffused here. The only way we can expand the scope of what we're attacking with this conversation is if you don't slow it down and make it more cumbersome. The beauty of this political moment is everybody can see this and smell it and taste it. They can understand there's just one piece missing, and I'm giving them that piece. This is what we're all suffering from. We can see it with the budget. We can see it with the bad cops. The system is not responding. You've got to be pithy, and you've got to be able to add in something really quick and easy and intangible.
It's a system that rewards mediocrity union systems. They don't reward the best. They don't incentivize you to do well in the system, and they don't punish the worst. It is about rewarding mediocrity. That's how everything is written. You cannot get rid of the worst person who works for corrections, DCF, DSS, public health in Connecticut, mm-hmm. or within a city municipality. Is it because of unions or
because of some other force?
It's virtually impossible because of the paper trail that you have to create that is so extensive. You can have a bad actor, like who was probably that police officer in Minneapolis, who you know has done other things in the past. And you need a lot of paper, you need a lot of fortitude, a lot of focus.
Okay, but what is the force?
Supervisors.
What is the force that puts up those walls? Are we talking about unions, or is this just normal bureaucracy?
No, it's the union, the system. Once you bring up a problem with an employee, it is grieved immediately. And then you have to go through the grievance process. It's then mm-hmm. one strike, two strike, three strike, and it has to be in the same area. They have to make multiple offenses with the same type of problem.
So I'm with you. If I add into my rhetoric, all public sector unions have to be eliminated. Does that cover the basis for you?
That would be a really great start. And changing our arbitration system, and the Minneapolis mayor spoke of this as well, and if the problems are in within OLR, the Office of Labor Relations, specifically in Connecticut, and it's demotivating. You can have as much fortitude as you want to say, this is a bad guy, he's done bad things. It can be police against citizens, state employees with clients and abusing their power because they provide benefits to them.
But Maggie, why does any of that stuff have to exist? What do if we get rid of unions? Let's say I've got the magic wand. I'm gonna rewrite these laws with just the wave of my hand, the way the King Ned can do right now. Is that enough to just say get rid of the unions? Because arbitration goes out the window too. Is there any reason any of this union-related infrastructure that protects workers, does any of it need to exist, or can we just eliminate it all?
Well, you know what? It's always I don't like to say always and never. So there are certainly aspects of the union that are probably worth looking at. I'm talking about the system that creates accountability, the piece about being able to discipline, the difficulty with which it is that it has
all right,
to
so
take together.
Hang on, I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to back up a little. Thank you, Maggie, for making that point. I'm going to back up though and say, all unions must go. All public sector unions must go, because that's too many words. As soon as you have to backtrack and say, oh, the public accountability. No, this is ruinous. America is ruined today because of these unions. Agree or disagree? 860-522-9842. When you have a mayor of a major city who says
the elephant in the room with regard to making the changes necessary to combat the institutionalized racism and have a full-on culture shift is the police union.
What the Democrats are saying is their devotion to their system rigging scheme, known as unions, is bigger than the death of George Floyd. They will not risk their election rigging scheme known as public sector unions, and thus risk their own re-elections. Even if it would bring George Floyd back, they won't do it. And we know that right now because the only people in the country standing up and being heard on this topic who are on the union side are Jacob Frey. How do you say it? I don't know. Jake, the mayor of Minneapolis. He's the only elected official I've heard make a solid plea for the end of this election rigging scheme. He's the only one. And then Spike Lee, not an elected official, a millionaire filmmaker who suffers no consequences except perhaps being disinvited to a few cocktail parties. He says it. And it's good that Spike Lee says it. It's important. We need honest voices willing to say what's unpopular.
I know people can get mad at me, but we need police. We need police. But we need a just police system. These unions are jamming everything up. They'll go to the mat protecting their fellow police officers in blue no matter what they do.
They'll protect their fellow police officers in blue no matter what they do. Bob, you're next on WTIC.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a Reagan Democrat, but I listen to you to get perspective. I listen to Rush to get perspective. And when we're looking at the defunding of police departments, if we look at it a different way, so the knee-jerk reaction is to defund police departments. What if by defunding you reorganize how the police department's set up, you abolish the union if that's possible, you get rid of some of the bad apples, and everybody has to reapply. Is that possible? Is that even a consideration? And so that's what I'm looking at and wondering.
Yeah, well, so that's what I came to today, Bob. I came to the same conclusion, which makes you brilliant, that really what the defund movement is about is not, it's not, they're not saying we don't need police. They're saying that the union scheme, as devised by the Democrats in order to guarantee their permanent reelection, also guarantees permanent bad cops, and that the system is so corrupt and so dangerous that the only way to fix it is we have to start from scratch. We have to fire everybody. And they did this in Camden, New Jersey a few years ago, and it worked well, apparently. They fired everybody. They rehired back some of the cops after interviews, and they decided they were decent humans. And they rebuilt the system without the Democrats' unions. So I think you're right, Bob.
So is the right, and I'm going to say the right, the left and the right, is the right getting all upset because they think we just want to get rid of, I say we, want to just get rid of police altogether? Because we heard that this morning. Do we just get rid of police altogether? Or I haven't heard anybody say, let's defund and reorganize. Have I heard anybody say
well,
that?
I don't know if anybody is saying, let's get rid of all police. I think the reaction from normal people when they hear the crazy leftists saying, let's defund the police, they say, oh, no, here goes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez again talking her crazy talk. And I don't think they're hearing that there's actually something that makes sense underneath it. But I don't know if the people with the defund slogan care about making sense yet, or even if they know that they need to make sense at some point. They know they're saying something that sounds outrageous, and that gets them a lot of attention. Bob, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for being so smart and honest and caring. We'll talk more about it in a moment. 860-522-9842. Give us a call on WTIC. It's WTIC. We have news breaking that Ned is flip-flopping on his caving into the unions that he announced yesterday. We'll see what happens with that during the next hour. Right now, though, we're talking about, and we will continue to talk about, the destruction the unions do to the state, to the country, to the integrity of the systems that are supposed to deliver services. Let's go to Glastonbury. Jim is there. Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. One of your previous callers had a very good point about one of the differences between private sector unions and public sector unions. In private sector, there's two parties. There's labor, and there's representation for the manufacturer or the business itself. In Connecticut, especially in private or in public sector unions, we have three parties. There's the labor, there's the politicians that negotiate, and there's the people of the Connecticut state. The state is supposed to negotiate with our interest in mind. Unfortunately, they negotiate with their own interest in mind, their own careers in mind, and we get holding the bell.
But Jim, there's no other motivation that elected officials have than perpetuating their own power. That is their number one consideration in the use of all power that they have on loan to them. So how could it work otherwise?
There's no doubt that that's what's going on. But what's happening now, especially with the police departments across the country, is that you're seeing the Democrat policy backfiring on them, and they blame the Republicans. That's everything that ever happens that is the Democrats' plan blows up in their face. It's always because of the Republicans.
Or they blame statues, or they deflect. They won't say it's got anything to do with the unions. It's got to do with, oh, we need a citizen review board. They suggest solutions that don't work and kick the can down the road, hoping they can outlast the outrage.
Well, as long as you're outraged, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you ever do anything about it, as long as you're outraged about it. So
exactly.
The Democrats get outraged that they can't control the police departments, but the Democrats can't control the police departments because they've given the control to the unions because the unions promised to vote for the Democrats.
Yes, and this is the circle. So there was something interesting about this whole funeral and all the reaction to it. And you hear Democrats rising up and demanding things, but they don't ever give a response that really connects to anything.
Democrats are re-pushing to remove Confederate statues in the halls of Congress as the U.S. Navy moves to ban the public displays of the Confederate flag, Robin.
It's those public displays of the Confederate flag. That's why the police kill people and nobody does anything about it. See how they play this game? They don't care about the deaths they cause. It's remarkable.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.